This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. The two Democrats running for New Hampshire governor, Executive Counselor Andrew Valinsky and State Senator Dan Feltes, have some things in common. They're both from Concord, and they're both lawyers. Both like to cite their legal experience as critical to how they'd approach the job of leading the state. Valinsky has been a prominent litigator for 30 years. Feltes spent close to a decade as staff attorney at New Hampshire Legal Assistance. NHPR's Josh Rogers joins me now to discuss their respective legal backgrounds and how it informs their politics. Morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
Let's talk about Andrew Valinsky's background first. He's been on the executive council now for two terms, but to the extent that he's known to the general public here in New Hampshire, it's likely due to the notoriety that he gained as the lead counsel for plaintiffs in the Claremont education lawsuits more than 20 years ago now, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes. And certainly Andrew Valinsky will tell you himself, as will his campaign staff, that if you were to boil down his motivations for his run for governor this year to a single idea, it really is to change the state's school funding system and to reduce the reliance on the property tax. Those issues were obviously at the core of the Claremont suit. But, you know, Valinsky has been a lawyer for a long time, and his legal work includes a great deal more than simply matters of school funding.
I know that he's cited his work on death penalty cases.
He has. And, you know, after law school in the 1980s, Andrew Valinsky was a public defender. And among other things, he defended people in death penalty matters. And in 1986, he actually prevailed in a death penalty case on the grounds that a trial judge had improperly excluded a qualified juror. This was a case out of the state of Mississippi that actually went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The case is Gray versus Mississippi.
This court also must recognize, in reaching its conclusion, the clear distinction between the jury function of fact-finding in the guilt-innocence phase and the discretionary function involved in determining whether a particular community believes that the appropriate sentence in a particular case is death.
So that was Andrew Valinsky arguing before the U.S. Supreme Court. The court ruled 5-4 in Valinsky's favor. He was then 30 years old. He sounds kind of young in that tape.
Yeah, that was in 1986. Since then, what other legal work has Valinsky done?
Well, obviously, the Claremont school funding case is perhaps his most prominent matter, but he's handled a variety of work, which isn't too surprising for someone who's a well-regarded litigator. And these cases have ranged from tax matters to discrimination. He was, for some time, the counsel to the New Hampshire chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. And he's represented victims in cases involving excessive force by police. He's also represented people fighting to keep their jobs, including, you know, police chiefs under duress and school superintendents. And a lot of his work over the past decades has involved employment law, and he's represented both workers and employers. One interesting example of Valinsky's work was the 5 years plus he spent working in and around the Cabletron company, which was at one point the state's largest employer. Valinsky first represented Brian Miller, a former Cabletron worker who sued in 1994 over being fired for refusing to replace a female worker with a man, and that order to replace the woman or the man came from then CEO, and that CEO went on to become New Hampshire governor. That was Craig Benson, obviously. And Miller and the other plaintiff won a $2 million judgment. Valinsky then went to work for Cabletron, which, you know, hired him to improve its anti-discrimination and personnel policies. And, you know, Valinsky says that relationship with Cabletron, you know, lasted until the company broke up. And he'll say that he really sees the work he did at Cabletron and the relationships he had there as things that show that techniques he honed as a lawyer, the power to persuade and the ability to communicate and to do so even with people you might be prone to disagree with politically, is proof that he has the skills needed to lead the state.
You know, if you're talking about trying to govern a state where the governor doesn't have a lot of direct power and has to be the collaborator in chief, I have shown that I can talk to hard right Republicans and gain their respect, and very progressive Democrats, and cross those boundaries over and over again because of my commitment to facts and being competent on the issues.
Okay, Josh. So with Valinsky, the claim is that his law career is giving him the skills and experience needed to lead. What about Dan Feltes?
Well, it may not shock you to learn that Dan Feltes also thinks his legal work has equipped him with leadership skills. And if you've listened to Feltes' campaign at all, you've probably heard him mention his time at New Hampshire Legal Assistance, a nonprofit that provides civil legal services to people with low incomes?
I think the first case I did was an unemployment insurance case for someone who lost their job, and we didn't end up winning the case, but the person at the end of the case called me up and said thank you, which made an imprint on me. You know, that person had never really had anyone in their corner.
And, you know, Dan Feltes's stress on his work at Legal Assistance, you know, it does make sense politically. It is basically how he spent his career prior to joining the state Senate. He first won election 6 years ago. You know, Feltes worked for New Hampshire Legal Assistance for close in a decade, and, you know, he handled a variety of issues. He's since also done some mediation work, and, you know, if you talk to him, he'll say he sees all this work as kind of being of a piece, you know, in the trenches with working class people, helping them navigate bureaucracies, be it governmental ones or commercial ones, you know, systems that don't prioritize their needs, basically. And, you know, Feltes has the experience of helping clients secure benefits from the VA or keeping housing when they face foreclosure, has, you know, taught him the power and in some ways also the limitations of legal work. Feltes says one reason he decided to basically shelve lawyering for politics is that he came to see elected offices maybe the better way to reach what he considers justice. And, you know, while Feltes will tell you he thinks his background in the law is a help, he also says that getting things done politically or electorally is, you know, sometimes less about nuance.
Fundamentally, where's your gut? When the chips are down, are you thinking about and are you standing with people who need help? Working families, working people who never ask for help but need to be looked out for, need an advocate.
Okay, use the word advocate. I noticed Feltes didn't say lawyer there.
No, he didn't. But, you know, Rick, no matter which Democrat ends up winning this this party primary, Democrats will be nominating a lawyer to take on incumbent Republican Chris Sununu. And either way, that's going to inform how either a man, Dan Feltes or Andrew Valinsky, is going to be making their case to voters.
And NHPR's Josh Rogers. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
It is Morning Edition from NHPR.